Good morning. My name is Pastor Cassie Graham, and I welcome you to our service here at Broadway. If you're just tuning in online this morning, make sure that you let us know you're here by commenting or filling out that attendance link there in the comment section. We continue our series this morning, Holy Vessels, recognizing that we are each created, beautifully made as a holy vessel by God. But sometimes we are broken. Some part of us chips away. Something in our life causes us to be tattered or torn or clouded. But we also believe in a redemptive and restorative God who brings us back to life, who polishes our souls and heals us, and maybe creates and forms us into something new. And so over the past few weeks, we've been looking at different elements of health. We started off with physical health, and then we talked about community health. Today, we're going to focus in on mental health. And when we use this word health, I believe that health is about wholeness, that it's a state of complete physical, mental, spiritual, and social well-being. That all of these parts are interconnected. The World Health Organization defines mental health as a state of well-being in which the individual realizes his or her own abilities, can cope with the normal stresses of life, and can work productively and fruitfully, and is able to make contributions to his or her own community. Now, as I read through this list, I recognize there are places or times in my life that I can pinpoint and say, man, there was times when I did not realize my own abilities. There were times when I couldn't cope with normal stresses in life. There were times when my work productivity suffered because of what was going on up here, and that I wasn't able to contribute fully to society. Anyone else been there? What I've also found true about mental health is it affects your whole self. All of these parts of health are interconnected. How many of you have ever been stressed before? Some of us. Maybe it's before a big test. Maybe it's when you get your tax bill in the mail, because those are coming soon, right? And you're like, I have no idea how I'm going to pay this. Or maybe it's you've lost a job recently, or you're struggling in a relationship, or your child keeps getting letters sent home from school saying that they're talking too much. But whatever it is, you're feeling stressed. And I know there have been times in my life where stress has just felt overwhelming. And it creates a pit in your stomach. And you feel nauseous. And sometimes you don't feel like you can get out of bed. Anyone else? Your mental health and your physical health and your spiritual health are all connected. And it all affects the community as a whole. We care about our individual members and the fullness of themselves as well as the body of Christ, because we all affect one another. So as we think about mental illness impairs these abilities. It prevents us from carrying out daily tasks or severely damages the productivity that we have. And it has a huge impact on who we are as Christians and how we interact with the larger community. As we engage our biblical text for today, one of the things that comes to mind is that one of the best ways to overcome mental illness is through truth-telling and sharing of stories. Has anyone here ever gone to therapy of any kind? Some of us. I'm going to be honest. I regularly see a counselor once a month. Through the United Methodist Church, we are blessed through our employee assistance program. We get 8 free counseling sessions a year, and so I take full advantage of that. Sometimes I go into my counselor's office and I say, everything's great. I don't need to talk about anything. and we'll just sit and chit-chat, and she'll ask me questions. Other times, I feel like I'm dumping literally a boatload of mental junk on her, right? But I think it's important for us to talk about things that are going on in our lives, struggles that we're having, because if we don't, we're never going to be transformed. When we look at the characters in the biblical text, those who are struggling with whatever kind of illness it is, and they approach Jesus, they share their stories. They tell Jesus where it is specifically that they are hurting, and God recognizes them as a beautiful and beloved part of God's creation and heals and restores. Healing comes through talking, through sharing. And as the church, we have to be a safe space for people to come together and share in our concerns, to confess our sin, to tell others where it is we are hurting and broken. That's not easy work. It is really easy to walk through these doors, to get up and to get dressed on Sunday morning and put on your Sunday best, to comb your hair, put on your makeup, whatever it might be, and to walk in these doors with a smile on your face and somebody says, "Hey, how you doing?" And how do you respond? Good, right? I'm good, everything's great. We put on a Sunday morning facade, even though Saturday night we were full of despair and loneliness and worry and anxiety. Our job as a community is to be able to share where we're hurting, where we're broken. As we dive into Matthew today, these 6 weeks of Lent, we're going to be looking at the book of Matthew and the different healing stories. And when we think about Matthew's text, Matthew really has a desire to show the reader, to show you and I, who Jesus is. That Jesus is the Son of God. That Jesus has power and authority. And so often you're going to hear in these texts Jesus referred to as the Son of Man or the Son of God or the Son of David. And some people are going to get it, and some people aren't. When we understand the fullness of who God is, that God has the power to heal, we too can be transformed. Let's turn now to the book of Matthew. If you have a Bible in front of you, turn to Matthew chapter 9. We're going to be reading verses 27 through 33. If not, the words are on the screen. Because it is a gospel text, it is in our tradition that we stand. So I invite you to stand in body or spirit this morning. Let us read Matthew 9, verses 27 through 33. Matthew says this. After Jesus went on from there, two blind men followed him, crying loudly, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." When he entered the house, the blind men came to him and said to them, and Jesus said to them, "Do you believe I am able to do this?" They said to him, "Yes, Lord." Then he touched their eyes and said, "According to your faith, let it be done to you." And their eyes were opened. Then Jesus sternly ordered them, "See that no one knows of this." But they went away and they spread the news about him throughout the district. After they had gone away, a demonic who was mute was brought to him. And when the demon had been cast out, the one who had been mute spoke. And the crowds were amazed and said, "Never has anything like this been seen in Israel." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. We jumped the gun there a little bit. We get these two stories. The one of two blind men, right? And it says they approach Jesus. They cry to him loudly. They're following him. And they're saying, "Have mercy on us, Son of David." And then We come to a man who is mute. It says that he's been possessed by a demon. And this man is physically brought to Jesus. And Jesus heals him, and he is able to speak. So we have these two blind men who Jesus heals, and they're able to see. A man who is mute and is able to speak. Now, I want to caution us for a moment. Sometimes this biblical text is used to cause harm on members of our community who have physical disabilities, whether it's blindness or deafness or something else, to make it seem like they have done something or they have sinned in the eyes of God. And I don't think that's what this text is telling us this morning. If you are blind or can't see, it's not because God doesn't love you. But I think as we look at this text, there's a metaphorical blindness and muteness that is prevalent and abound in our world. As God, or as Jesus sees these men, these blind men, and this mute, demon-possessed man, Jesus recognizes them as his beloved. And they cry out to him to be healed, and so Jesus does. The stories of the blind men being healed, there's a couple different stories of blind people being healed in the Bible. There's the famous story of the blind man in the book of John. This is not the same story if you read the text. There's some similarities, but they don't really overlap. This is really the only account of this story in all the Gospels. Matthew's really the only one that talks about these two blind men and this mute man. And so Matthew has an interesting perspective. But I think it's important first to look at how the ancient world looked at blindness. We're going to start with these blind men first. And if you look at the ancient Mediterranean world, eye ailments, whether it was blindness or any sort of other eye injury, they were treated by a range of different healthcare systems, and I use healthcare systems in quotes because I don't know that you could really call them healthcare systems, but one healthcare system that was in place to cure blindness was the goddess Isis. It was thought that if you cried out to her, if you had lost your eyes or some other part of your body, if you turn to this goddess, you will be restored to your previous condition. So that is one healthcare system, right? Crying out to the goddess Iris. There were other ways to cure blindness. Some folks said if you took beef soot and you boiled it with oil and put that on your eyes, you could be healed from blindness. Anyone ever tried that? Because that does not sound fun. Another way that folks cured blindness or tried to cure blindness was to smear the gall of a fish over your eyes. That doesn't sound fun, or that doesn't sound like it would smell very good, right? So there are different ways of healing, but one of the texts that was floating around at the time was something called the Testament of Solomon. And this is attributed to King Solomon. Now, this is not a biblical text. This is not a part of the canon that we look at Scripture. But there's other writings that are floating around. And so we can learn a little bit historically about blindness. And one of the things in this text, it says that the king, the son of David, has been granted authority over 36 demons responsible for human ailments, including the demon that's responsible for the damage to eyes. And so the son of David can heal. So when we look at our text, I'm going to knock that over. That's terrible. So when we look at our text for this morning, when the blind men come up to Jesus, it says they cry out to him loudly, "Have mercy on us, son of David." Right? They're kind of seeing a connection here. But when we read on in the text, when we get to the end, I didn't read this verse for us, but the last verse of this story, verse 34, it says, "But the Pharisees said, 'By the ruler of the demons, he cast out demons. The blind men recognize that Jesus is someone special. They recognize him as the Son of God. Maybe they can't fully name it, but they understand it. The Pharisees, on the other hand, think he's a demon driving out demons. Who's blind here? It's not the blind men. They're physically blind, but they know exactly who Jesus is. The Pharisees, though, they can't see it. It's like the blind leading the blind. They're blind guides trying to lead their people, but they can't even see themselves. Sometimes I think this is us. Sometimes I think we're like the Pharisee, that we don't fully see and grasp and understand the fullness of who God is and the power God has when it's the people who are broken and lost sometimes see the fullness of God when we don't. As we think about mental illness, sometimes I think it causes us to be blind, to not be able to speak, to not be able to really see who God is in front of us, to not be able to verbalize how we have understood God in our presence. It causes us to tell lies about ourselves. If you've ever been in a deep state of depression, you say really terrible things about yourself. Maybe you don't say them out loud, but you surely say them in your head. That's not who you are. That's not who God is. God loves you fully and abundantly. God cares for you just like you care for your children and even more. God wants us to be whole. As we look at these stories in Scripture, these blind men, this mute man, has probably been told for decades that they are not worthy because society believes that a demon has caused this ailment, so they must have done something wrong. Even if we look at the Gospel of John, in that story of that blind man, the folks come to Jesus and they say, what caused his blindness? Was it his sin or was it the sin of his family? That's not what causes the blindness. Jesus heals. And it is through these stories that we can understand that God has power to heal us. So where are you blind today? What can't you see about God? What can't you say? What can't you verbalize? Maybe it's something as simple as you are beautifully made in the image of God. Whatever it is, God can heal that. Over these few weeks, we've had some ritual actions that I've invited you into. And one of the things that we've asked is for you to take a stone on the first week, and we ask you to break it. And then last week, we asked you to bury it in sand. Sometimes when we struggle with mental illness, it feels like we're buried. Mental illness is prevalent in our society. Just some stats for you. It says 1 in 5 American adults have experienced mental illness this year. 1 in 25 have severe symptoms. Only 41% of people with mental illness have sought help. On average, 43% of teens experience mental illness at some point in their teen years. 70% of youth in the juvenile justice system have at least one mental health condition. Suicide is the second leading cause of death in people 15 to 24. 1 in 4 people who experience mental illness will be a victim of violence. This is not something that we should just ignore and push to the side, right? Something we have to talk about and share, because that's how transformation happens. So with these pieces, sometimes it feels like we're buried in sand, but God has the power to restore. And so when you get home, or if you're at home right now, I invite you to get those pieces, to take them out of the sand, to dump out whatever vessel you're holding them in and to fill it with water. And then put your pieces that are dirty and covered and wash them. Because that's what God does for us. God washes away the brokenness and brings us back into new life. Take those pieces then and keep them in that water and put them somewhere in your house where you'll see them, maybe somewhere around water, maybe by the kitchen sink when you're washing dishes, or maybe by on your bathroom counter next to the shower, so that you are reminded that you are a beloved child of God. Let's pray. Holy God, I give you thanks for this time together to worship with one another. God, we recognize you and your fullness, and that you long for us to be made whole. God, wherever we might be struggling today, we give that over to you, knowing that through you, we can be transformed. We pray this in the name of Jesus. Amen.